program. Plenty going on with best sporting events to get up in the middle of the night for. And after that, our league legend, or our legend of the week, is the great Paul Langmack. We'll also try and have a chat to Anthony Griffin.
Has reportedly banned alcohol, perfumes and other liquids bought at airport duty-free shops in Manila and is doing its own bag searches over concerns Islamic State militants may carry out an airborne terror attack. The move follows an insurgency in the Philippines by foreign-led jihadists who since May 23 have occupied the city of Marawi in the country's south. The airline has banned the purchase of liquids, including bottles of water over 100 mils purchased at airside duty-free shops as an added precaution. This is on top of the usual 100 mil liquid limits in hand luggage. Both houses of Congress in the Philippines have approved the president's request to impose martial law on the southern island of Mindanao. The BBC's Jonathan Head has more.
President Duterte supporters control both houses of Congress, and there was never much doubt that his request to extend martial law would be approved. However, there was a good deal of debate about the proposal, with critics questioning why military rule needs to run that long, why it's imposed all over Mindanao when the current emergency is in one city, and whether it's relevant to the largely conventional military operation going on in Marawi. President Duterte's opponents worry that his authoritarian instincts might one day tempt him to use martial law in the rest of the country, something he has on occasion threatened to do.
49 passengers were lucky to escape without injury when their bus caught fire in the New South Wales Snowy Mountains ski fields. The driver of the tour bus noticed the flames and pulled over near Jindabyne. Sergeant Dave Rose from Police Headquarters told Macquarie Radio the road was closed for several hours.
Officers from Monaro Local Area Command attended and transported those passengers to a nearby ski lodge. Fortunately, no one was injured, and once again, inquiries into that incident continue.
A pizza bar in South Australia has caught fire. Around 3 a.m, firefighters were called to the Cliff Avenue shop in Port Nolunga South, where the roof and restaurant area were alight. 12 firefighters were able to put the blaze out in around 15 minutes. Heather Dunstone from Metropolitan Fire Service.
No occupants were in the shop at the time, and the damage is estimated at around $300,000. The cause at this time is believed to be accidental, but fire corps are attending the scene later today. Due to the quick action of the caller in contacting 000, this enables firefighters to gain access quickly and stop the fire from spreading to adjoining buildings.
A Brisbane man raising money for cystic fibrosis research by cycling more than 4,000 kilometres across the country will return home this afternoon. Dave McAdam set out on his epic journey from Fremantle on the 7th of July and has so far raised more than $60,000. Mr McAdam decided to undertake the gruelling task of riding from Perth to Brisbane after his two-year-old niece Freya was diagnosed with the condition. The dedicated uncle is expected to arrive at Brisbane's Lady Salento Hospital around 4 p.m. local time, having set out from Byron Bay this morning. Also in news, around 80 head of cattle were seriously injured and had to be euthanised after a cattle truck rolled over in WA's north. The crash happened on the Great Northern Highway south of Derby around 2:20 yesterday afternoon. The driver of the truck wasn't seriously injured. This is Air News. The Tenacious Chiefs have clung on to beat the Stormers 17-11 in Cape Town and fill the fourth Super Rugby semi-finals berth. A quarter-final packed with tension remained in the balance through the final stages and was ultimately won by the visitors' superior defence and the goal-kicking boot of Damien McKenzie. It means the Chiefs must face the Crusaders in Christchurch with the possibility of a return to South Africa for the final if the Lions beat the Hurricanes. Fremantle veteran Michael Walters is almost certain to miss the rest of the AFL season after suffering another injury to his left knee. Walters damaged the posterior cruciate ligament in his left knee during the final quarter of last night's 52-point loss to Hawthorn. Ricky Stewart has launched a blistering attack on NRL referees after Canberra's faint finals hopes suffered a massive blow with a 2014 loss to Melbourne. The Raiders coach was fired up after his side fell short against the Storm at GIO Stadium, saying his anger was backed up by the 47 text messages he received about the refereeing after the match. Stewart called for referees and their boss Tony Archer to face the media over their decisions. Also in sport, Chris Froome kept his composure in a hostile environment as he virtually secured a fourth Tour de France title after extending his overall lead in a 22.5-kilometre time trial through Marseille. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Shiraz. By DeVortley, of course. Here's the traffic.
Don't miss Oz Design Furniture's massive stock-take sale with up to 50% off furniture and homewares. Ends tomorrow. Visit ozdesignfurniture.com.au for store locations or shop online. We've got a few lights flashing around Sydney right now in Punch Bowl on the Boulevard at Arthur Street, in Cabramatta West on Orange Grove Road at Cabramatta Road, and in Glenville on Ryde Road at Pittwater Road. Also got delays heading to the airport. It's very heavy on Marsh Street and Airport Drive as you approach the international terminal. Say hello to value at Red Rooster with a quarter chicken, small chips and 250ml Coke for just $5. A feed for $5. That's a winner winner. Only at Red Rooster. T's and C's apply. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Every morning, Racing HQ brings you the best form analysts throughout New South Wales as we preview the day's major race meeting, plus the latest tab fixed odds markets. Racing HQ, your perfect race day start from 10 a.m. on Sky Sports Radio.
Excuse me, mate, does the next train stop at Wynyard?
Oh, yeah, it goes all the way to payday, because I just came up with the goods on a 10-leg multi. Stuff the train, we're getting a limo.
Cool, man. You're good to swing by Wynyard, yeah?
With the new Check and Collect feature on your Tab app, you can now check your ticket and collect the winnings anytime, anywhere. Gotta love a public display of betting affection. Tab. We love a bet. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
You need more cash flow for your business, but the bank says no.
You want to use it to attract new customers, but the banks still say no.
You've got a great track record and a strong credit score, but they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not a mountain of paperwork, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
22 in Sydney, sunny, areas of frost in the west early this morning, winds northerly 20 to 30 kilometres an hour and becoming light in the evening. Big surf conditions for all those radical dudes out there that want to go and catch a few waves. And up there in Nelson Bay, sunny, 19, areas of frost about up in the upper honey.
I know it's Sunday morning, so I know you're first up,
mate,
from a spill.
Mate, I've been off for a lot of time. It's two hours worth of this, so I've done this 3 or 4 times. Winds from the north, 15 to 20 kilometres an hour. Daytime maximum temperatures between 16 and 20. So beautiful up there at Nelson Bay. You got anywhere you want to go, Jared?
Oh, let's go to Campbelltown.
Campbelltown?
21, sunny. It seems to be sunny a long way across the state today. Beautiful day. There's a high pressure system coming across the the country, so we've got unusually warm temperatures for this time of the year.
Listen to us, Alan Wilkie and Brian Murray sitting here.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. 1353 is the open line number. Stuart Clark and Jared Milton sitting in for Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas, who are out gallivanting around this great big globe having a great time. So they'll be back hopefully next week, otherwise probably Jared and myself again will have to sit in.
Do we seriously know where they are?
Nah.
Just on leave. Just gone bush.
Jimmy's had a hectic couple of weeks of doing the odd radio segment here and there and going into work.
He needs to be listening for you to sledge him.
You reckon? Nah, bugger it.
Nah,
and there'll be enough people to tell him it. Word will get back to Jimmy that I bagged it. Last time I think I did this, I asked everyone where Jimmy was, and people said they were checking. He was checking his Ashley Madison account. He was nervous about coming in. He got hammered from pillar to post.
Just explain, what's Ashley Madison again?
I don't know, but why I couldn't work it out either. But our talk topic today, what sporting event do you get up in the middle of the night to have a watch of? You know, with Wimbledon, the Masters, the Olympics. The one I talked about, Juan Antonio Samaranch saying the winner is Sydney. That was a big back in 1993.
Black Caviar
there at Royal Ascot, if you're into horse racing.
Yeah, someone else has said Takeover Target winning the King's Stand, Ed from Tamworth back in 2006. Absolutely. Any victory from the Aussies tries a year as well at Royal Ascot. Certainly been worth getting up for.
And we've also got a lot coming in the rugby league back in 1991, the old days of rugby league. I think we've just been handed a note. I think we've been called, or someone, Jimmy maybe he's called in listening live, but where is Jimmy?
LA, and Ray's in London. There you go.
Goodness gracious.
Next week you're on here with Dave Stanley, who's just been in, well, he's still in Japan, I think. He's been in Japan for the last 3-4 weeks, updating us daily on what his activities are. Here I am with another bowl of sake. Here I am eating some more sushi. He's seriously given us a diarised Instagram
his food
of his
plan. All he's done is eat and drink. By the time he's been in good conditions when he gets back, big Dave Stanley. But Jimmy's back next week, as it said there. So they're gallivanting around the country. Now, this show, it has a legend of the week. We couldn't find one this week, so we got Paul Langmack, and he joins us on the line. Morning, Langus.
Hello, Stuart.
Jeez, you sound croaky this morning.
No, Stuart, when I make mistakes, which is quite often, I always tell everyone I played when there was no concussion rule. Okay? So today, you've made about 10 mistakes in the last hour. Did you bat without a helmet?
I used to hook, mate. I didn't. I was back in the Viv Richards days. So, mate, thanks for joining us on the line. The legend segment is something Jimmy sort of brought in, but you played in an era of rugby league where the game was different. You know, you don't have the protocols that you see now, but I'm sure you had some fun along the way.
Yeah, look, I think life was different then. There was no mobile phones. We talked to our neighbours. Actually worked. I played in both eras of full-time and working. I think we had great, better times than these days. The poor players, they're scrutinised on everything. Mobile phones are an evil for the world. You can't do anything these days. But I have great memories, and, it was great.
So, Paul, just take us back to the start. So you were still in school, weren't you, when you ended up in Canterbury?
No, I was a Parramatta junior. I grew up in Cabramatta, so every day is a victory now. But well, that's what I tell everyone. Yeah, we had no car, no colour TV, so everything was always up. And it's made me play footy. So I captained all the junior Parramatta Rep teams and Australian schoolboys. And I ended up at Canterbury mainly because my coach, when I was 15, used to take me to every Canterbury game, stand behind the goalpost and learn how to play footy. So, and plus, Canterbury gave me a scholarship to go to uni. And, it was good.
Now, is this correct? You played in 4 grand finals in your first 6 years out of school.
Yep. It's quite funny how life turns out. 1982, I was doing my HSC, and I looked up in the phone book and saw Ray Price, got his number, because he played with my brother. He was living at Bass Hill, rang him up, said, "Oh, hello, Mr. Price, well, I'm Paul, Peter Langmack's younger brother." And he let me come over to his house and talk about playing, how to play lock and play first grade. And the following year, I was playing against him in a final. And the following year, I beat him in a grand final. So quickly it goes. Like at Canterbury, the success was demanded. It still is, but we used to train really, really hard. And if you didn't train hard, you got thrown off the truck. We thought every team trained the way we did, but no one trained like we used to train. I remember playing against Parramatta in 1984 at Belmore Sports Ground. It was packed. There was about 20,000 people there. And it was down at the Canterbury Road end. Eric Grabs has scored. And we're getting beat 20-0. And Phil Gill was one of the big signings, and someone from the, we used to call them the Wog Stand, all my Lebo mates were behind the goalpost, and yelled out, "Hey, Phil Gould, you got a head, been stung by 1,000 bees, you're fat, you're overweight, we don't want you." And Darryl Braman was living with him at the time, put his arm around, he said, "Don't worry, mate, we're all with you." And some bloke yells out, "Take your fat, stupid mate with you." So we all started laughing in the heat of the battle. Things happened. I started laughing. Well, these days, they would have thought we'd back Parramatta last 20-0, you know. So it was great times, you know. Like, you ripped in. You tried to smash each other. You had a beer after the game. We used to hang with the South blokes and the Tigers. And, it was really good, you know. So, like, remember when Phil Gould, left. Phil Gould was playing second grade at Canterbury. And Warren Nine were doing moves. He was so good, Warren Nine. He called Phil Gould out of second grade training and have a look at the move, what he thought of it. Like, that's how great a brain Phil Gould had. It was still has. One of the smartest players I've ever met. But when he went to South in 1986, Gus was playing second row, but he was the biggest halfback going. And they had Les Davidson, they had Ian Roberts, Fanning, Dave Boyle, Rampling, all these bad, lunatic blokes who were good blokes off the field. And we're going to play on a Monday night, and it's going to be packed. We trained on the Sunday, And 109 got a bloke to ring up someone and come back during training and said, yeah, mate, it's going to be a fight on the first 10 minutes. And so South knew it was going to be a fight. We knew it was going to be a fight. And I'm thinking, I can't fight for crap. I'm going to get killed here. Liz Davis, like, nice as play, but he can fight like a thrash machine. They all quit, right? So before we run on, like, it's packed. It's tribalism at its best. And it's good when you're in the zone and you're in the zone, you know there's going to be a battle. It's the best feeling ever. The scariest feeling is when you're not in the zone, you're scared. You're scared to go, oh, I shouldn't play football today. But Warren Ryan showed us Marvin Hagler fighting Tommy Hearns, 2.5 rounds of mayhem. And he said, boys, that's what you got to do tonight. I'm thinking, oh, shit, I'm in a lot of trouble here. So the first 10 minutes, Mario Fennec, he was twice the size of Billy Johnson, pulled Billy's jumper over again, started punching the living daylights out of him, and it was on. And I got smashed from behind. I thought I was going to die. And Phil Gould hit me and said, stay down, we're too smart for these blokes. And Phil Gould saved my life.
So what, you two just rolled around the ground while everyone else was fighting?
Bloody oath. I'm indebted to Phil Gould. I could have been punch drunk by now.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, but you had great success, though, Leggies. I mean, what of the grand finals you played in, what one sticks out the most for you?
They're all different, because like the first one, we won 6-4, and Peter Kelly got man of the match, the front row, and he got man of the match in 85 grand final again. And it was such gripping. It wasn't over until the hooter went. So it was going flat chat. And then when the siren went, it was the best feeling ever. Then we won again in St. George. And then when Ellery Hanley knocked himself out.
I was working up to this. And
When Ellery Hanley knocked himself out, I'm telling you, it was a different scenario because, like, we were ahead by 12 with 5-10 to go. Like, we've been in 3 grand finals before. And so you could really soak it up in the last 10 minutes when you were going to win. But a funny thing happened. In Phil Gill was 29 years of age coaching in 1988. So we won the comp. We got beaten in the final 26-0 by Parramatta in 83. 84, we won the comp. 85, we won the comp. 86, we got beat in the worst grand final ever, the worst game we've ever played. 87, we didn't make the semis. And then 88, Phil Gould becomes coach at 29 years of age. And with 3 games to go, we had to play Canberra, down in Canberra, to make, and it was the top 5 then. So whoever finished in the top 3 got 2 bites of the cherry. You could lose a game in the semis and still make the grand final. So whoever was going to win this game between us and Canberra was probably going to be in the top 3. So we trained Saturday morning. Phil Gould, the coach, drives the minibus. Joey Thomas is the bookie. And we're all on the punt all the way down. And Terry Lamb's drinking vodka and orange in the back seat at the back. This is a true story. I was at the race, the Bulldogs race day yesterday. I said, Bar, I'm going to tell him that story. He goes, yeah, tell him it's great. So Bar drank about half a bottle of vodka all the way down the day before the game, because that's what he used to do. And Gus is having bets, everyone's betting, and so we kind of basically got to help Bar get off the bus, and we go and sleep. And next morning it was that cold, and we were down 10-0 after 5 minutes. We won 24-10, and we had a pub crawl on the way back. And Terry Lamb, myself, and Dave Gillespie sung with the Cockroaches. Got out of the Wiggles on stage singing Rockin' All Over the World.
Footy was so
unbelievable.
You know, I talked to Stewie a lot about his days playing cricket. Like, you know, the great Viv Richards and all them coming after a game in the dressing shed. That's what it was like. And it was great respect to the teams of each other. You'd say, hey, you going, mate, and have a beer with them. But you shared memories, and we can share them forever. You got mates for life. And that's the beauty of that era that I played footy and all my mates did. And like my mates, I love my mates. I play with in grand finals. They're mates forever. We mightn't see each other much, but, you know, we're always, you know, they're my mates. I love them, you know. So, and that's the same as Stewie Clark, the blokes he played cricket with, the fun times he had. Where now it's become very sterile, I think. They train every day. They've got people taking photos, social media. Like, I think Stewie Clark and I got away with murder for what they get away with these days.
Yeah, we're talking to Paul Langmack, former Bulldogs, New South Wales, Western Suburbs, great. And I'll get on more serious stuff in 1 second. But you also coached by the great Tommy Radonikis. That must have been an interesting experience.
Yeah. Well, I went from Ted Gossett and Warren Ryan, Phil Gould, and Warren Ryan went to West, and five of us went to West from Canterbury, and Warren was years ahead of his time. So I used to kind of commentate the game because I've got a good memory. I used to have it. I knew, say, like Steve Roach was left-handed because he always carried the ball in his right hand because he carried the ball in the weaker's arm, and if you hit him high, he'll bump you off. So I used to say, here comes Fatso, tackle him around the ankles, I'll kill you, and he'd hit him and he'd fall like a tree. But then he got sacked at West, and then like you weren't allowed to say boo in video sessions with Warren at West or Canterbury. Then come along the great Tom Adonigus and probably rejuvenated my enthusiasm. And I was about 26. I played some of the best footy. All the players left, and it was just a team of kids. And every video session, Tommy would bring out everyone, have a beer, watching the video. We'll try to teach Tommy how to play footy. And like, he was great. You just wanted to kill for him. So what used to happen was, Tommy, there was a 20-team comp. West was supposed to run last, right? So we're the underdogs all the time. So the day the captain's run, which they call it now, was Tommy used to sit up in the grandstand smoking, and I'd run the show, and we'd all just be looking, waiting for him to do the sign, which means he's running out of cigarettes, so he wants to go up the pub. It is true, every Saturday. And he'd come running down after training, and goes, what do you reckon? I go, yeah, mate, I reckon 6.5 star. I reckon we should have a bet here, because, yeah, they've got weak centres, and I can get Norm and that. He goes, all right, so I'd ring up my mate Mickey Sylvester up in Newcastle, and we'd have a bet every game, right? And we never lost. We always backed ourselves, because we were all supposed to run last. And we were always getting starts, so sometimes we get 10.5 start. Like, if I thought we could score 10 points, there's no way they're going to put 20 on us. So Tommy and I would bet. We wouldn't get the other players to bet, because they'd get scared and get nervous and that. And then, so the last game of the comp, we had to win to make the semis. We're playing Illawarra. And we trained Friday afternoon. I was on Channel 2, Saturday Live. And we're favourites. And we've got to win it to make the semis. Like, we would have been 1,000-1 to make the semis. And we're given 4.5 start. We're the favourites. And we train. And Tommy goes, Polly, you reckon we'll beat them by more than 4? I go, yeah, I reckon we'll, mate. He goes, sweet, bring him up. We'll have a big go at this. So we bring up the bookie. And next day, we're playing. And it's blowing a gale, and it's cold. And what happened was 3 minutes to go, we're up 8-4. We get a penalty. And so, like, I've won grand finals. I'm getting old. I'm playing with all these kids. And I'm thinking, semis is a semis. But I'm thinking about the punt for the coach. He'll go off his head. So I said, kick the ball out. I said, a couple of weeks before, Andrew Willis kicked a 48-metre field goal. So the obvious thing for me is to work it in, get Andrew Willis, kick a field goal. We're in the semis. And me and Tommy won a lot of money. So with 10 seconds to go, Andrew Willis is playing the ball. And he's like 10 metres out from the goalpost, just askew to the left. Sherry Mesher has done me half, and I ran in there and said, what are you doing? I said, get out of the way.
Lang, you're sort of dropping out on us here, mate. Sorry. I can't. We've just lost you there. I'm not sure. You just dropped out there, unfortunately. Sorry, mate. Yeah, he's dropped out. Yeah, sorry, mate. We'll have to come. We'll try and re-establish a line there with Paul Langmack. Because he's dropped out, and we'll try and get the end of that story. I'm not sure we'll be able to get there, but obviously the times have changed a little bit. So when Langer's been playing, a little bit. It seems to be. Look, the days were a lot easier back then, and there was obviously no.
Well, now it's a job.
It's a job, yeah, that's exactly right.
That's the biggest difference, though.
Yeah, unfortunately, the line's dropped out then. We'll have to try and re-establish the line. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll try and establish a line with Paul Langmack again.
Sky Sports Radio can be taken anywhere, anytime. Crystal clear. Sky Sports Radio is available through the Tab app plus the Radio Industries radio app. Whether you're at home, work, the races or travelling, make sure Sky Sports Radio is a part of your racing day.
Aiming to create one of the largest research groups ever with 50,000 Australians, Cancer Council has launched the Australian Breakthrough Cancer Study.
If you've not had cancer, other than non-melanoma skin cancer, researchers want to hear from you.
Guys, if you're aged between 40 and 74, sign up today at abcstudy.com.au. It's easy to do and can be done from home in your own time.
So come on, help yourself, your family and future generations in the fight against cancer. abcstudy.com.au.
Mum, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
No, Lionel.
No, but there's free delivery, free unpacking, and we'll take away your old washing machine free when you buy any Fisher & Paykel or LG washer from Bingley.
But no free lunch.
No, Mum. Free delivery, free unpacking, and free removal of your old washer.
When you buy any Fisher & Paykel or LG washer from Bingley.
The offer won't last, so be quick. See you in store or bingley.com.au for details.
Remember, Lionel, lunch is not included.
Welcome back to the program. I dropped out there again. Something going on here. We'll have to get that checked. But our talk topic this morning, 1353 53 is the open line, is what sporting event do you get up for in the middle of the night? We've had plenty. We've had plenty of calls coming in, whether it be the Olympics or the Masters or World Champion, the Olympic swimming team. I'm looking at James Magnussen on the TV, so that's why I recall that. Kieran Perkins, 1500 metres.
Yeah,
remember that swim?
What time was that in Atlanta in 96? Because I'm not sure it was that late from memory. I think,
whether you got up or not. Look,
yeah, I mean,
they're sporting memories.
Qualifies, doesn't it? Someone, an SMS from Jack from Old Bar, Raylene Boyle, final of the 1976 Montreal Olympics. She was disqualified and didn't run before my time, Stewie, so I can't really remember that. But,
I don't remember plenty
of Olympics moments, of course, so... hard to go past Kieran Perkins, one of the great moments, wasn't it?
It was a great swim from lane 8 out there, Juan Antonio Sant Branch. 1353-53 is the open line number, and Jeff's on the line. Morning, Jeff.
Yeah, good morning, boys. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thank you.
But geez, that Langmaker, he's got a lot of memories in that big melon.
Yeah, well, there were just different times, weren't
they? There were different times, and, that sort of stuff, whether it be betting and drinking or whatever it may be. It happened, but, obviously times have changed now and you'd be in a lot of trouble if you did that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's correct. From memory, that Kieran Perkins one, just getting off the track, I think that was a Saturday morning. It actually was sort of 11 o'clockish or something like that, remember?
I had a feeling it wasn't quite in the middle of the night, but memorable nonetheless.
Yeah, well, my one goes back a long time. When I was a young bloke, I used to get up to watch that Lionel Rose with Fighting Arata.
Lionel Rose, Fighting Arata. My goodness, that's a call. That's a nomination that Jared and myself wouldn't have come up with, Jeff. Yep. What are your memories?
Well, when Lionel Rose beat Fighting Arata.
What year was that? Just out of interest.
I was
50s.
60s, 65, something like that.
Wow, we.
Yep. Mate, the glory days
of boxing, the UFC sort of taking. Appreciate your call, Jeff. Thank you for that. Stay on the line. Jeremy will grab you there and we'll get you out some CDs for your topic this morning. Les is there. Good morning, Les.
Yeah, you going?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate.
Yeah, you're talking about to stay up and watch something, like sports.
Sure.
Yeah, well, you remember a racehorse called Crisp, Australia's greatest steeple jumper.
The Grand National?
He won 14 races straight here. He went over to the Grand National in England, and he run third over there, Australia's greatest hurdler.
Hurdler, wow. Really?
And that was worth waiting up for to watch, you know what I mean?
So that was 1973.
Yeah, I listened to it.
Wow.
Yeah,
really?
Okay, right.
That's worth saying. I mean, if you're in your steeple jumping or your jumps race horses, I wasn't expecting that this morning, Joe. Put it that way.
There you go. That's a good one.
Les, stay on the line. You can see these coming on. You're in the running for our event cinema's ticket to the movie. So that's a call that I wasn't expecting. It's right at the top there. Les, that's an interesting one.
Just before my time as well.
You're not 73. Yeah, I wouldn't remember any of that. Plenty of calls coming in. David's on the line. Have we got David there? No, David's not there at the moment. So plenty coming in, plenty going on. 1353-53 is the open line number if you want to. Want to send us an SMS? 0419.
I think we've got David.
272. David's there now. Sorry, mate. David,
hey,
morning.
Guys, how you going?
Very well, mate. What do you got?
Just two sporting events I've gotten up for all the time. FA Cup final.
Yes.
And Black Caviar Ascot.
Yeah, we've had Black Caviar. We've got Black Caviar a few times come through. Getting
wasn't
up
that late. It's probably about 11.
Oh, past bedtime for a lot of people, that, David. Got to get up, have to watch that. It was a big event, wasn't it? Remember that? I think TK flew over as well. He was there, he had the top hat and tails on, and there was a lot of...
That's a dunk everyone wants to be involved in. I went to Royal Ascot a month ago, and one of the best events.
How was it?
Yeah, outstanding. And it's just the way they do it. I mean, it's so unique. Obviously, you know, the whole top hat and tails thing is part of it, but it's just, you know, all the grounds are in absolutely immaculate order, and it's just, you know, it's English pomp, and it's most pompiest, I guess you'd say, but it's just an incredible experience to go.
Did you get dressed up?
Yeah, I did. No, my stepbrother lives in London. He sorted all my kit out. So
really?
Yeah, it was unique. It was unbelievable. You know, it's quite a novelty getting done up, and then all of a sudden you get to the track and here's everyone else with their top hat and tails as well. So, but yeah, I mean, you don't even have to be a huge racing fan. It's just such a great people watching experience.
Was the old girl there, the Queen? Did she turn up?
Yeah, yeah. No, I wasn't too far from her when the royal carriage came down and went through the tunnel and into the mounting yard. I was about 10 metres, 12 metres away, I reckon, from the Queen. And yeah, extraordinary experience. Really, really good. And it was a stinking hot day, actually. It was about 32, 33 degrees. Yeah. No, it was very special. Anyone who has Ascot on the bucket list, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, certainly. I've never been to a race day, but I've been over there, and they reckon, TK tells it, it's an amazing event. So you've certainly experienced that. It's on the bucket list of things to do.
Great staff are always the most important element of business. Nova Employment is a free disability employment service that takes the time to find you the right candidate.
Hi, I'm Susie from Delicious Dairies. We're proud to give back to the community by not only supporting our farmers, but by hiring people from Nova Employment who wouldn't necessarily get a chance. They are valued members of our business.
So if your business could benefit from great staff with ability, join the over 15,000 Sydney businesses who have made the switch. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
Under Off and Racing.
Group Racing returns to Rose Hill Gardens.
Watch Sydney's best as they return to the track to begin their spring carnival campaign. With gourmet trackside dining options available and stunning views of the home straight and winning post, your guests will have a winning day at Rose Hill Gardens. Hospitality packages start at only $99. Find out more at www.theatc.com.au.
Z&Z Jewellers has been a Herschel institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, they've been the official source of the official NRL watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. If you want one of those Bears watches, give these guys Z&Z a call. So if you want an official watch of your team, there you go. Or if you have business needs, corporate gifts of distinction, if you're looking for an engagement or wedding ring, or if you want jewellery, remodel or repair. Now, you don't have to get your wedding ring with a Dragons or a Bears emblem logo on. You can get a proper wedding ring, so they're not just rugby league. They've got plenty of other jewellery and quality jewellery in there as well. See Alan at Z&Z Westfield Hurstful or visit znz.com.au. Proud sponsors of the St George Junior Referees.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, I think the Bears are going to have to get back in the comp before they start making the watches again. But anyway, let's get to the Penrith Panthers, the win over the Gold Coast Titans, 24-16. Now knocking on the door of the eight, they were joint competition favourites with the Melbourne Storm at $7.50 each of two at the start of the season, but had a rocky start. They're on the right track now, it seems, and we're lucky enough to be joined by their coach, Anthony Griffin, this Sunday morning. Thanks very much for your time, Anthony. Now, the most pleasing aspect from the result against the Titans, other than the scoreline, of course, what did you take out of it?
I just thought our second half was really good. We were a bit messy in the first half and lost our way a bit in attack, but the second half we peeled off a really good 40 minutes of sustained pressure, and they're a very good team, the Titans, and they're very resilient, and you've got to, you know, really put your foot on their throat and keep it there to get the better of them, and I thought that was what we did yesterday in the second half.
Now, Anthony, it seems to be getting, the game is starting to come to the Panthers. Just tough start to the year, but certainly the last couple of weeks we're seeing that Panthers and that form that everyone talked about at the start of the year starting to come to the fore.
Yeah, sure. It was very frustrating, obviously, the start of the year, but you know, it was the start of the year, which was lucky. You know, this time of year is obviously the time of the year when you want to be starting to be at your best, and I think we're giving ourselves a chance now over the last 7 or 8 weeks, we've been really consistent outside the day we played South Sydney, which was very disappointing. But last couple of months, we're building really well, and we're having a little bit of luck. We've got most of our side back together. And you know, the next few weeks, obviously, we've got to get it done.
Anthony, I was based on the fact you got personnel back, I mean, can you put your finger on what exactly has sparked your turnaround after that tough start to the season? Was there a specific game or training session even, or just having players back?
No, nothing in particular. I think probably, you know, the one thing is, and the good thing was, you know, at the start of the year when it wasn't going right, everyone, you know, stuck together and, you know, it was only going to turn if we did it, you know, exactly that. And we're a strong group, a really good group of players, and you know, strong club here right across the board. And we knew it wasn't what we wanted and what we wanted it to be. And gradually, you know, we pulled our way out of it. I think that was the thing I saw the most was and just the resilience of the players and the. And the commitment to keep coming and turn it around, and you know, we've done that now, and we've got ourselves into a position where we're capable of playing in the finals, and hopefully over the next few weeks we make the most of that.
Yeah, certainly it appears that way. Now, Matty Moylan appears to have hurt his hamstring again.
Yeah, he missed a game in New Zealand last week.
Yeah,
had a slight strain of his hamstring the game before against Manly, and never came up once we travelled to New Zealand. So it's more a neural thing. It's medical staff. We just had a meeting this morning. They're sending for another scan, but they're pretty confident it's a neural thing. And he just couldn't stretch out yesterday. You know, we got 10 in front with about 15 to go there. We just thought we'd get him off and get some fresh legs on there to make sure we could defend that out. But hopefully over the next couple of days he can rehab and be a chance for Thursday night.
Anthony, to what extent did your contribution from the bench reflect or affect the result yesterday?
Yeah, it's been really good, Jared. Obviously, we swap that around a bit, and we're bringing Gillard off the bench now, and he plays longer minutes doing that, you know, with that rotation, and he's in really good form. And Fisher Harris being back, and Lani Latu's really starting to hit some form and play some quality minutes. So to have those three guys able to come on, lift us through the middle there, it's been great the last couple of weeks, and it was significant yesterday the impact that all those guys had when they come off the bench.
Yeah, it certainly was. Now, we talked about it 2 seconds ago with Peter Peters, but Nathan Cleary, he appears to be going from strength to strength, and Peter Peters was of the opinion that, you know, he might play better when he doesn't have Matt Moylan next to him. Now, not saying Matt Moylan is not a good player, but he just he appears to like the responsibility.
Yeah, I don't think it's a matter of who's playing with him. I think he's just developing nicely. He's a really, as I said a lot of times, he's a really mature kid for his age and for the amount of games that he's played. You know, and as he's learning the game, he's just becoming a lot more consistent with his you know, his choice of kick and running game. So I don't think it's a matter of who's playing with him. He's had a lot of different hookers. He's had Peter Wallace and Sione Katoa and Mitch Rain throwing in the ball, and he's played with, you know, Moylan and Cartwright and Tyrone May. We haven't really been able to settle, you know, in those key positions all year for different reasons, but the thing, obviously, that Nathan's doing is he's taking a lot more responsibility probably because of that. And,
yes.
You know, his last few weeks, you know, particularly this time of year in the big games, they've been really quality stuff from him.
Just finally, the Bulldogs Thursday night. I mean, the Bulldogs coming off a 30-point loss is sometimes the most dangerous time to play them, Anthony.
Yeah, they're a real tough team, the Dogs. They obviously haven't had things the way they would have liked them and they're always a physical game when you get ready for them. So we've got a short turnaround, which we're going to have to be careful with our rehab and just make sure that physically we're ready to go Thursday night. But I thought it was a funny game last Thursday. I thought they were way on top of Brisbane for the first 20 or 30 minutes, and Brisbane just wriggle free, and which they can do. You know, they got a lot of speed and class. But I thought it was a really good first period by the Dogs. So if they can put that together for 80 minutes, it's going to be really hard to beat on Thursday night.
Yeah, they certainly are. And finally from me, Bryce Cartwright, he had a run around in reserve grade yesterday.
Yeah, he did. He had his first game back for 8 or 10 weeks, so it was really good. He had knee surgery. He was basically playing injured at the start of the year with a slight fracture in his leg as well. So all of that's cleared up now, and he's in really good shape. He got 50 minutes out in New South Wales Cup yesterday, and he's pulled up really well. So that's a bonus for us as well.
Anthony, selection woes, but good selection woes for you with all your players getting fit and ready to be coming back just for the semi-finals. Thank you for your time this morning, and good luck for the rest of the year. Hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
No worries, guys.
Cheers, Anthony.
There he is, Anthony Griffin, Penrith coach. They're coming home strong, aren't they? And let's look. I'd say there's a lot of teams that are worrying about Penrith with some of the size and skill they have in that team.
Absolutely. And now's the time to make your run after Origin into the finals, and Penrith can work their way up the ladder. We're now joined by our colleague, Emma. Is Trent Linkscale joining us?
No, he is.
Yes. Okay, we're joined by my esteemed colleague at fab.com.au, Trent Linkscale. Trent, how are you this morning?
Going well, Jared. Good morning to you and Stuart.
Now, the NRL today, we've got a couple of big games.
We do, and you've been speaking about them. 2 o'clock at Wynn Stadium in Wollongong. You've got St George Illawarra, $2.25, and Manly, $1.65. The line, 2.5. And the betting has been pretty even throughout the week, but just a little bit more support for the Sea Eagles compared to the Dragons. In the margin betting at the end of normal time, you've got the Sea Eagles by 1-12 at $2.90, and 13+, $3.40. The Dragons, 1-12, $3.40. 13+, at $5.75, and draw at the end of normal time at $21. The first try score, dominated by Manly players. You've got Tom Trbojevic, Uarte and Dylan Walker. They're all at $9. And then Brad Parker and Jonathan Wright there at $10. And then 4 o'clock at ANZ Stadium, West Tigers $3.50. Parramatta $1.30. The line 8.5. And the support is 3-1 in favour of the Eels. In the margin betting, the Eels 13+, $2.30. By 1-12 at $3. West Tigers 1-12 at $4.50. By 13 or more at $8. And the draw at the end of normal time, $26. And no surprise that Semi Radradra is the favourite at $6 to score the first try. Bevan French at $7. And then Clint Gutherson and Michael Jennings, they're both $9 hopes.
They certainly are. The AFL, we saw Sydney win last night against St Kilda, but there's plenty of matches on today.
There is, Stuart, and the Swans, they just keep on going at the moment. It's amazing to think that they were $101 after six rounds when they were the only winless team in the competition. Mm. But three big games this afternoon, 1:10 at the MCG. You've got Richmond, $2.30, and Greater Western Sydney just struggling a touch at the moment at $1.62. The line is 6.5. Just the favourite options in margin betting. You've got the Giants under 39.5 at $2.15. And the Tigers under 39.5 at $2.70. Jack Revolt and Jonathan Patton, they're the $6 equal favourites to kick the first goal. The 3:20 match at Etihad Stadium, well, Collingwood are now the favourites at $1.75. West Coast $2.05. The line is 2.5. And in the margin betting, you've got the Magpies under 39.5, $2.30. And the Eagles under 39.5, $2.70. Josh Kennedy, the West Coast spearhead, is the $5.50 favourite to boot the first goal. And then 4:40 at the Gabba. This match doesn't have any finals implications. The Brisbane Lions $2.05. Carlton $1.80. The line 6.5. The Blues under 39.5 at $2.40 is the favourite option for margin betting. The Lions under 39.5 at $2.60. And Eric Hipwood from the Lions and Levi Casbolt from the Blues, they're $11 equal favourites to kick the first goal.
And just quickly, the Claret Jug, it'll get decided overnight.
It will. Well, Jordan Spieth, he is in a dominant position. He holds a 3-shot lead heading into the final round, and he is the $1.28 favourite at 11 under. Matt Kuchar at 8 under, $5.50. Brooks Koepka, the recent US Open winner, at $5 under $21. And then Hideki Matsuyama at $4 under, the best of the others at $34. And Spieth and Kuchar, they tee off at 11:30 tonight. They're the last pairing, but Spieth $1.28 to win the Open Championship. To bet on that, you do have to call 133-390. And unfortunately, Stuart, from an Australian cricket point of view, the women didn't get through to the final, but that's on tonight at 7:30, and England are $1.57 against India at $2.40. So plenty of sport, plenty happening from any of the racing codes. You can check out all those markets and plenty more at tab.com.au.
Beautiful stuff, Trent. Great to speak to you. Thanks for joining us this Sunday morning. Yeah, stacks of markets you can bet on, and keep those SMSs coming through as well. 0419-767-272 in relation to our theme today, the best sporting event or match you got up for in the middle of the night, and a good one here, in fact. Shane Gould, Munich Olympics, 72. 16-year-old Aussie girl, 3 gold, 1 silver, 1 bronze, 70. And, who have we got here? Bandit from Leichhardt. They've got a top four. 74 Socceroos making the first World Cup finals. Germany 3 against Maradona's Argentina. Maradona's Argentina 3, beating West Germany 2 in the 86 World Cup final. And, of course, the 2006 Socceroos returning to the World Cup after a 32-year absence. A good one there from Bandit from Leichhardt.
Yeah, appreciate that from Bandit. We'll take a break. We'll be back shortly.
Bet you'll love waiting for a delayed train, halftime at the footy, or even sitting in a dentist's waiting room. Because with the Tab app, you can enjoy live racing on your phone anytime, anywhere. What's more, you can even watch races while you scroll out great odds and bet. Plus, with race replays on demand, you can study the favourites or relive a classic race. Enjoy live racing today. Download the Tab app or visit tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Race replays excludes Victoria Thoroughbreds. Gamble responsibly. Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
No matter what your age, most of us played sport when we were young, and there was always one thing that made you want to disappear into a corner or even give up your chosen sport, and that was when somebody on the sideline hurled abuse at either you or a teammate or an official. These are the things that make sport painful for so many kids, and the time has come to stop it. I'm Ange Postecoglou, coach of the Socceroos. My message is a simple one. Let kids be kids. Find out more at playbytherules.net.au.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. Before we get to the open line, and then we'll talk to Scotty Foster, there's a Racing New South Wales just purchased a property. Isn't it?
Yeah, amazing announcement yesterday by Racing New South Wales that they've purchased a 2,600-acre property, Stu, about 40 minutes north of Lithgow on the way to Mudgee there, a place called Kappa T. And it's going to be used to for retired racehorses and to be rehomed and rehabilitated, retrained even. It's a huge property with an equestrian arena and all the facilities. They've got a cottage they're going to turn into a bed and breakfast. Some of the champions are going to end up there. Yeah, they've got Living Legends in Melbourne, which is just near the airport there, where a lot of the retired champions are going to be. So it's a great initiative by Racing New South Wales. Of course, they established the Equine Welfare Fund a couple of years ago now. And so 1% of all the prize money in New South Wales goes into the Equine Welfare Fund, and that's helped fund this purchase. And there's going to be more properties purchased too over time for retired racehorses. In the current climate, of course, this is a huge topic, and the horse comes first. That's the key. And knowing a lot of people in racing, the horse does come first, and this is just another step to ensure that is the case.
Well done to Racing New South Wales, and obviously all the taking note, I think, is of a lot of the concerns of people, and they're not just done away with. There's actually now somewhere for them to be kept. Now, 1353 53 is the open line number. Scott's on the line. He wants to talk about the talk topic. Morning, Scott.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Now, my brother probably favourite moment getting up for an early sporting moment would have been Robert De Castella.
Robert De Castella.
When he won that marathon in the Commonwealth Games, you guys might be able to help me out with the years. I was pretty young, and my dad was a marathon runner, and all his mates came over. I guess I was about 8 or 9 at the time. And
82 or 86, I reckon.
To the finish line.
84.
84, was it?
84 was the Olympics. I think he did
in the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, so 82 or 86, I reckon.
Yeah, it was an awesome comeback by one of the best.
82 in Brisbane.
82.
Came back and beat that Kenyan.
Yeah, no, mate, I remember, I was young, but I remember what you're talking about, and I've seen footage of it where, you know, Big Deke just steaming down the road, catching guys. It was a great run.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Great run.
I just wanted to say I was in Atlanta when Kieran Perkins won the 1500. Yeah, my wife and I are in the stands.
Oh, you were there at the pool.
Yeah,
oh.
we lived in Atlanta for 6 months during the 96 Olympics.
Yeah.
We were actually on our honeymoon, but... one of the better things from that Olympics was the Australian Boomers playing the American Dream Team in the basketball.
Yeah.
And the proper Dream Team. Like that, they were the big guns, weren't they?
Yeah, mate. We were in the stands that night, and it was just one of the best sporting events I've ever been to. Yeah. We were nearly boxing on with Americans around us. Mate. It was just so aggressive. Yeah, and I was sort of giving it back to them, mate, as hard as I could.
Was
around, mate, you know, so I was just flying the flag, just sticking it into them.
Was that when Shane Heal got in Charles Barkley's face?
He did, mate. He did big time, mate. Yeah, all game. All bloody game, mate.
Yeah, good player. Mate, yeah. Scott, appreciate your call, mate. Stay on the line. We'll get you out some CDs. I've got the Sound of Nashville here. We might get you that one. We'll find you a few good ones in there as well, eh? So appreciate your call there, Scott. One Scott to another. We're going to Scotty Foster. I haven't spoken to this man for years. Scotty Foster, good morning.
Good morning, Stu. It has been a while, mate, and it's good to hear you back on the radio.
Yeah, just to fill in, while Jimmy travels the world living up on his massive expense account that he has with tab.com.au, hasn't told Tracy
I've
about that
I've
one.
I've seen a picture of him enjoying a beer over there. So
you should see the size of the invoice that Stu sends in, though. Oh.
Yeah, that's bigger than Jimmy's expense account. Oh. What do you got for us this morning, mate?
Well, boys, we've got a great-looking 2006 Mazda 6 Classic on special today. This is a cracking car. It's a one-owner with logbooks and impeccable service history. The Mazda 6 comes with climate control, air conditioning, power steering, 6 airbags, ABS brakes, traction control, electronic stability control. It's got the leather steering wheel, power windows, power mirrors, cruise control. It's got a trip computer, sports suspension, and 16-inch alloy wheels. It's a 4-cylinder, 2.3-litre engine. It's got the 5-speed automatic transmission. And this sporty sedan is very economical, very reliable. Most importantly, it's also very safe. This is one beautiful motor vehicle. It's on sale for the listeners today at just $7,990. It's a steal, and that also includes our 3-year warranty for even more peace of mind. So go to the website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 9637 5024, because this is one very cheap car.
Now, if you need finance, you can also sort that out.
We certainly can. We've got some great finance packages available at the moment. We're helping a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. If you've had credit issues in the past, then now's the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, you're new to Australia or on a student visa, we can help you. If you're on sickness benefits or starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber drivers, then go to our website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au. Or give us a call on 9637 5024, because we can help you get driving today.
And a reminder to the listeners that you guys have been members of the MTAA for over 17 years?
We certainly have. So we do everything possible to make buying a car a pleasant and easy experience. We can also source cars. So if we don't have what you're after, we'll find the best possible vehicle for you at the best possible price.
And you're going out to the game, Tigers at Ringrose Park, 3 p.m. today. But you'll be out there, I'm assuming?
I certainly will be. The Intrust Cup side, Wanny, they play the Tigers at 3. We've been on a roll. The boys are pumped to continue that today. And don't forget also, next weekend, Wanny Magpies, we're holding our annual Family Fun Day. There will be 3 big games of footy and plenty of rides and activities for the kids. It's always a big day, and we expect another big crowd this year. So make sure you get down there. It's free entry and a huge day of entertainment.
And I'm reading here, your younger bro, Matty Foster, he peeled off 177 from 128 balls in English club cricket.
He certainly did. It's good to see him performing again now. He went in, though, They were diabolical at 2 for 13, so he's gone in. They came out, he was 7 for 310. He hit 19 fours and 8 sixes, so he certainly got stuck in.
Good on you, Matt. Is he still up in Brisbane playing up there?
He is, yep.
Oh, okay, there you go. Well, mate, well done to him. Thanks for your time this morning. A couple of good cars there. If you want more information on any sort of cars, fosterscualitycars.com.au or give them a call, 9637 5024. Scotty, you'll be on site today, I'd imagine, wouldn't you?
No, I'll be at the footy, mate. Steve and Joe there today.
Steve, that's right, mate. Get your dad to work. You go out and enjoy the footy. Good stuff, Scotty. You're a champion, mate. Good talking
to
you.
Boys.
Back again next week. So
177 off 128 balls.
Yeah.
You know his brother?
I know who his brother is, yeah. He played. I played my last year of grade cricket. I played him as a young kid coming through. Good all-rounder. Bats well, bowls well. He moved up to Brisbane for an opportunity, and he's over in England doing well. So fosterscualitycars.com.au, 9637 5024. Give Steve or Scott or someone a call there, and they'll be able to help you out. No, keep going. Number eight. We're almost there. I thought we're almost there. I'm just battling this last 5 minutes, Hamish. I'm just hanging on. Talk topic. You got anything there?
No, I just want to mention, too, actually, we did have one. Cadell Edwards winning the Champs-Élysées.
How did we forget that?
Yeah. Like, particularly considering the Tour de France is just about to wrap up. But, our talk topic, the best sporting event or match that you've got up for in the middle of the night. So Cadell has to be there. Here's another one from Mark. I remember staying up all night listening to AB getting a ton in 98 against the Windies attack in their pomp. That was awesome. That would have been, the early 90s? Very early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. Yeah. I remember getting up in 95 to watch the end, and it was into the morning of when we wrapped up the series against the West Indies, that shifting of the balance of power when we won that series
Warnie
in 95.
Court Taylor.
Yeah, Warnie Court Taylor, yep. Yeah, the Windies were just about done then. But also, I have to mention Winks tomorrow, Stewie. So, it is tomorrow. Tomorrow, Winks trials, and all the action will be on Sky Thoroughbred Central. I think it's about 8:45 is Winks' trial. So she's back, the great champ, as she embarks on a campaign to win a third straight Cox Plate and equal Kingston Town as the only other horse to achieve that milestone.
Big news around Winks. There's also the 89 Ashes. Someone's SMS'd in. Mark Taylor, Terry Alderman, knocking them over with little outswingers everywhere. So they were the times back then.
What was your growing up as a cricketer, obviously? What was your one that you remember most watching?
I remember watching the West Indies. I'm not so much getting up in the middle of the night to watch, but obviously the 89 Ashes was a big thing because we'd been dusted a few years in a row and no one gave us a hope. It was the start of Mark Taylor and all those sort of guys. But in my memories of growing up cricket is the great West Indian teams.
Mm.
The fast bowlers. Even when I got the chance to meet them, and I think Joel Garner in 2008, I was like in awe of this guy. I was like, hi. Didn't know what to say to him. Michael Holding. I never got to meet Malcolm Marshall, but, those sort of guys, they were just fearsome and good. And probably where my love of cricket probably started back, and obviously Lily and all those sort of guys. You want to take a call in here? We'll go for a quick call, 1353-53. Sam's there. Morning, Sam.
Yes, good morning, Stuart and Trent. How are you, boys?
Very well, thank you.
That's good. That's good. Sorry, I lost my voice, Nelly. In 1966, the World Cup soccer, England was playing Germany, and England won 4-2.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the most important things that was held around the midnight area, because England, for the next 12 World Cups, have not won since.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right there, Sam. 1966 was the big day for English football. It's been a drought ever since. So appreciate your call, Sam. We've got our events and our tickets.
Also, it was Cadell Evans.
Yeah.
Well, I said Cadell Edwards, but that's what our listener did type in. But it is Cadell Evans, of course.
That's exactly right. So our talk topic winner today, Jeremy, is is it Roger? Did we go with Roger? Roger's the one. Well done him. Fighting Harada versus Lionel Rose. We liked that one. It was a bit out of the blue and a bit out.
1968 it was.
Before my time,
one of our listeners who sent in an SMS, 1968.
Yeah, before my time, but certainly a big day in Australian boxing. And Lionel Rose, what a fine boxer he was for Australia for many, many a year. And that certainly was a memory. So to everyone that's called in this morning, we're almost out of time. It's 10 o'clock. To you, Jared, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thanks for letting us off the bench and carrying us, Stu. Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
I don't know about carrying anyone, Jared.
I think that's good fun.
So to Mike Tomalaris, Jason Coyle, Ty Anglin, Peter Peters, Dean Ritchie, Phil Moss, Paul Langmack and Anthony Griffin. Thank you for their time this morning. The show was good to talk to all them about different things in sport. And I suppose thank you to everyone out there that's been listening. Now, you got a tip for today?
Oh, I actually like the Dragons as outsiders against Manly back at Wynn Stadium.
Yeah.
Desperate times for the Dragons. They need to turn it around. And Manly, as Peter Peters told us, don't have a great record there at Wynn Stadium. So I'm going to go with the Dragons, $2.25 outsiders against Manly.
Yeah, Apisai Corrissau being out, it's a big loss for the Manly side. I actually think the Dragons can get up as well, but it'll be a tight, close game, and I'll be sitting there this afternoon watching too.